So Scott asked, how many of you are coming to the sixth? And he said, put up your hands. So it's fine if you didn't put up your hand, but here's how it works. We will take attendance. And if your name is found not to be on the attendance, I will write you in for the sermons. And I will let you know which weeks, because I am in the first week of August with sermons right now. So you might be preaching Christmas or Christmas Eve, just so you know. So it'll be good to see you, except if you really want to come preach, that's fine. We'll do that for you gladly. Anita had a birthday yesterday, one of our students. Happy birthday, Anita. And our lead guitar player there will have his birthday tomorrow. It's one more year and then he'll hit the big 50. So tomorrow is still a good one. Happy birthday, Jay. He's still a young man. I emigrated when I was 44, so come on, life's way ahead. Father, thank you that we can smile, that we can share our lives. That's why we are together as your people. That beautiful Greek word, ecclesia, the coming together of people to share their lives, and that's who we are. Thank you that we may share our joys, may share laughter, that we may share in achievements, that we may share in our grief and our sorrow and our need, and that we are there for each other in all of these things. Thank you for the song we just sang, reminding us of who we are. We sang it more than once, Lord, I am a child of God. Sometimes I think we struggle with that because of the things that Satan tries to tell us and the things that we tell ourselves. Thank you for this series in which you remind us that your grace is more than enough. Thank you for reminding us who we are. And now, Lord, take this word and open the word and plant it in our lives so that it may grow and that it might glorify you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So second in the series, More Than Enough, where we speak about God's grace and what God's grace does in our lives. I want you to imagine, and I know that's getting harder and harder nowadays because we do everything on screens and we don't have to use our imagination, but just a little imagination. I want you to imagine this scenario for a moment. You see this huge prison with the walls and the electric fences. And the towers, and the guards in the towers with their guns. And then you see the main gate of this prison, and it opens up. And a person walks out. Stands outside, looks to the right, and it's an open road. Looks to the left, it's an open road. Looks ahead and realizes, I'm free. I can do whatever I want. No one's going to stop me. And in that moment, in being set free, turns around, walks right back through the gates of the prison, tells them, close the doors, goes into the warden and he says, give me back my old prison clothes. Puts on his old prison garb and he says, I'd like my old cell back, thank you. They take him to his cell, they put him in the cell, they close the door, he sits on his old steel cot with his thin mattress. Chooses life in prison over being set free. It's kind of laughable, silly. Who would do that? Well, that scenario is more realistic than we think. Paul writes about that in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 that we're going to do this morning. He writes about how often, we as Christians have the tendency, after being set free by God, to turn back and walk right back into slavery. It's like we just can't believe that we have been set free and the shackles have been taken away from all of these things that held us captive. And sometimes I think our biggest struggle is the struggle with God's grace. We struggle to believe that it's by grace that we have been saved. And that grace that saved us initially is that grace that will sustain us eternally. So let's look at what Paul says. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. And all of these readings are coming from the New Living Translation. Paul says, "We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our life." He's setting the scene. So, we just sang it. We are no longer slaves to sin. "For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin." What a powerful verse. We were slaves of sin. We had no choice. When they said jump, we jumped. When it says lie down, you lie down. You couldn't do anything except for what sin told you to do. And then Christ died. And Christ took that old prison garb off, opened those doors, and he said, "There you go. I'm setting you free, and your life has brand new potential." Who did that? Jesus. Paul goes on. Verse 20. "When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right." Man, I love that verse. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right because you couldn't. You were stuck. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But, and there's your biblical but, now you are free from the power of sin and have become servants. Now, if you look at the Bible, it will use the word slaves of God because it's the same word in Greek, doulos. Doulos means a slave, but doulos also means a servant who willingly works for someone or commits themselves to someone. So instead of translating doulos with servants, they did it with slaves. We're not God's slaves. God sets us free. When you're free, you're not a slave, correct? But you can choose to serve God and be God's servant. So that's why it said to Grace, please put the word servant in there because that's what it says. You are free from the power of sin and have become servants of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. No question about it. But, and there's your but, and this is an amazing but. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. The greatest gift of God's grace that you can ever get is the gift of eternal life, where God took all those things off of you, and God opened those doors, and God said, "There you go, my child. Here is the gift. Grace that saved you is the grace that will sustain you." But we have a battle that we fight. And the battle is this. We often have the tendency to turn back to our old lives and to our old ways. As if we think to ourselves, "I don't think I can make it without doing those old things." And that battle is real, or is it just me? Scotty, do you struggle with that? Bradley? Is it just me? Anyone else? And it's painful when you do that. Now, we're not alone. Listen to what Brother Paul says in chapter 7, verse 18. He says, "I want to do what's right, but I can't. I want to do what's good, but I don't. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do it anyway. Anyone want to say amen? Boy, the battle is real, right? So what does Paul say? He says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And then I think he shouted this out as loud as he could. Thank God, for the answer is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you see, this is how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. But I thank God that the answer is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Thank you, Paul, for being honest. Thank you, Paul, this man who brought the gospel of Jesus Christ for so many people, that you can tell me you struggled like this too. That you too, Paul, every now and then turned around and walked through those gates and put on those old clothes again. But thank you, Paul, for reminding us who we really are. When I read that, I thought, it reminded me of a bird. So I'll tell you three bird stories. The first one was the jailbird, right? So here's your second one. It's the bird called the cardinal. Last summer, and he's going to be back, I know it, had this silly cardinal male who would come to my office window every morning. And this silly bird would see his reflection in the window. And he would bang his head against that window, fighting with that silly bird on the other side. The more I chased the thing away, the more I tried to put stuff there to get him away, the more that silly bird came and banged his head against that window. And I was thinking, you bird brain, when are you going to stop doing that? And the moment I said that, I thought, that's exactly what God says to me. You bird brain, when are you going to stop doing that? Because that's the battle we fight. So Paul has a little bit of advice. Two things. He says, sorry. Remember who you are in Christ. And I spoke that sermon last week, so I'm not going to repeat that whole sermon for you this week. Remember the person you are in Christ Jesus. When you look in that mirror, I told you last week, remember you see a child of God. Remember your Father is the King of the universe. Yes, now and then you stumble and you fumble and you fall, but don't allow Satan to lie to you and tell you that you're stuck in that, because you're not. It's a lot of hogwash. It's not who you are anymore. We sang it. The words of that song to me are so profoundly beautiful. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. Will you hear that? From your mother's womb, God has chosen you. You belong to Him. Love has called your name through His grace. I've been born again into your family. And then those words, your blood flows through my veins. God transfused your blood, took out the old sin blood, and He put in Jesus Christ's blood and saved you. That's who you are. Don't let the devil try and fool you, because that thing can never have you. He can tempt you. He did that to Jesus for 40 days. He'll try and trip you up. He did that to Jesus. He will try and influence you. He did that to Jesus. But He can never have you, because your Father is God and your Savior is Jesus. And the grace that saved you is that same grace that will sustain you through all of those temptations and those trials and those tribulations and those struggles when this thing tries to shove you back in jail. Martin Luther gave us the best example. I don't know if you remember the story. I've told it before. He struggled with depression and with his mental health. And he told the story of one day he was sitting in his study. And he said it was Satan who stood in front of him. And he had all of these pages of all of his sins and all of the messes in his lives, in his life. And he showed them to Luther. And he says, "Look at this. What do you have to say for yourself?" Can you remember what he said? "I am baptized." Because what is our baptism? Doesn't it say in that moment, "I have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ"? And what does Colossians say about that? The moment I was washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, he washed away all of those sins, all of those chains, and he nailed them to the cross, and he never looks at them again. They're gone. They're past tense, because I am not that old person. I have been washed. I have been baptized. So when that thing comes at you, all you have to say to him is, "I've been baptized. I am no longer your slave. I have been set free in Jesus Christ." And you'll remember that just the other day, and you'll remember that 2-3 years ago, Maren, when we stood in that lake together. God's promised you. Some of you are wee little babies, and God said that to you. That's the gift of God's grace, because it's free, right? You can't deserve it. It just comes by grace. So remember the person that you are in Christ Jesus. But also remember, as you walk this road, your progression in Christ Jesus. And I'll explain this word progression. The reason we still stumble and struggle is because God's not finished with us yet. He's still working on us to prepare us for eternity. It's kind of like we're still in boot camp. And if you've been in boot camp, ask me. I've been there. I've done that. In the beginning, it's really hard, and you can't do it. But as you progress, you become stronger. And the 10 push-ups are now nothing. I can do 20. And then later, I can do 100, and I can do it one arm. Nah, not anymore. You know what I'm talking about. I know that. When I was a soldier, that's what you did. You got there, you can do this stuff. But the more you progressed, the more they trained you, the more they worked with you, the more it became just something easy that you can do. And that's what's going on. We're not perfect yet. And God doesn't give up on us. But here's the coolest thing. When God puts us in boot camp, God doesn't leave us alone. He gave us someone to help us. His name is the Holy Spirit. I can't do it alone. But when the Spirit is walking with me, that's why his name is Parakletos, my one who walks right beside me. Remember, I've told you before, I've always said, my life, I see my life as like a house. A house has a bedroom and a bathroom and a kitchen and a dining room and a living room. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, he doesn't just come right. We invite him in like you do with a minister. You take him to the parlor. You don't take him to the kitchen. Because the parlor is nice and clean and no one goes in there. So we invite him in and we put him in the parlor. And he hangs out in the parlor. And then he'll say, you know, Aubrey, a little bit of paint there. And maybe if you move the chairs, like, wow, that looks really cool. Wouldn't you like to try the dining room, Holy Spirit? And slowly but surely, we allow him to work. And slowly but surely, we become more and more and more of what God wants us to be. The struggle is real, but the Spirit is real too. And he doesn't just leave us alone. That's why Paul can write this and say, man, I try and do this stuff, but I can't do this. So what am I going to do? Thank God, for I have been saved by Jesus Christ, my Lord. I can't, but he can. And then God says these most beautiful words, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. You should know it off by heart. My grace is sufficient for you. For in your weakness, my strength becomes complete. My grace is sufficient for you. It is sufficient to remind you of my forgiveness, sufficient for my commitment to you, sufficient for my whole love and care for you. For your struggles, for your crisis, for your temptations, for your questions, my grace is sufficient. For the grace that saved you initially is the grace that will sustain you eternally. Someone needs to hear that. You're not alone. Yes, the struggle is real. Yes, the battle is there. But you're not alone. God is there with you. So here's your third bird story. Jailbird, cardinal bird. And this one is the old robin. We have a fish pond in front of our house. And the other day I saw this robin. He came and he stopped where the fish pond is. We have a little waterfall. And he stopped there. And he was drinking. And he was drinking. And then he jumped in and he was washing himself a little bit. And he jumped out and he was drinking. And it reminded me of that beautiful verse. Because I'm thinking, robin, you can drink. And you can drink. And you can drink. But you are never going to empty that pond. You can go get all your buddies and you can drink, and you're never going to empty that pond. And it reminded me of that verse, my grace is sufficient for you. When can you ever empty the grace of God in your life? Can Satan do that? Doesn't stand a chance. Can he make you a slave again? Doesn't stand a chance. When you stumble, when you fall, in your weakness, my strength, my power comes to its fullness. For it is by my grace that you live. There is sufficient grace for God's forgiveness in my life. There is sufficient grace to heal me from the wounds that I carry. There is sufficient grace to take away my sin and wash them away. There is sufficient grace to shape me into the person that God wants me to be. No wonder Paul in chapter 8 can say the most beautiful words. He says, things I don't want to do, I do. I can't stop making mistakes. I can't stop going back. I'm such a wretched man. Who will save me? I thank God in Jesus Christ. And then he hits chapter 8. And chapter 8 just takes that black pen away and it's got this white pen and it says, so there is now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You're not going to stand before your Father one day, and Father has this huge list of junk in your life. It was washed away on the cross. The only thing Father's going to do, he's going to look at you and he's going to say, Karen, it's so good to see you. I love you. Come on in. Okay? My daughter, serve me all your life. Come on in. Because there is no condemnation. My grace is sufficient. Amazing grace. My chains are gone. Been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. Like a flood, his mercy flow. Unending love. Amazing. Take a few moments of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord. There's a song that says, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving me life in all of its fullness and freedom. Thank you that we are no longer slaves. Thank you that when the battle is real, we are not alone. For your grace is sufficient. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.